Are you ready for a boost?
Yes.
Ready for a boost? It's kind of funny because, like Nate said, when they ask me to speak, it's usually about once every year. And it's kind of challenging for me because I have three children. And so I'm like, Lord, I have no time to study. I'm never alone. Never alone. And so I'm having to pray with a baby on my hip, you know, and just do what God's telling me to do. And I was like, Lord, you're just going to have to give me the message because I'm going to do as much as I can to study, but I just need direction from you. So we went up to camp on Friday night, and I was actually baby free. It was amazing. And so we were worshiping, and God dropped this message in my heart. And so I'm just going to give it, and I'm trusting him to do something with it. Because I tell you, the least likely person to be up here is probably me, because this is not my strong suit. It takes a lot within me to even like have everybody staring at me at one time. And I'm like, okay, this is uncomfortable for me. But I promise you, God sometimes is going to ask you to do some uncomfortable things because he wants to stretch you and grow you. And that is the story of my life. So we are going to do it, and we're going to trust the Lord to make it make sense to you guys. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are here with us, in us, and that you are wanting to share a message that would change our lives, change my life, change these wonderful people's lives and the people that they meet. Lord, I thank you, Father, that this message would be your message, that my mouth is your mouth, my heart is your heart, and that I yield to you. I thank you that all of our hearts are open to hear from you, Lord. Lord, that we're softened to hear from you. And Lord, it would be your message and it would be strong because it's from you and it's from your word. Thank you that this word goes forth and it doesn't return void, that it produces what it's supposed to produce. And we just praise you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm at camp and I'm worshiping the Lord, and I have to back up a little bit because when we were on the way to camp, I never put makeup on until like the last minute for whatever reason. I'm just not a big makeup person. So like on the way to wherever I'm going, I'm usually putting my makeup on. Nate was driving. So I'm like squirting. I have this little squirt foundation. So I'm squirting the stuff and, you know, I'm trying to put my face on. I'm like, I don't want to scare all these kids away. But, I squirt it and it squirts all over my shirt, like this big glob of foundation. And if you know anything about foundation, it does not come out. So I went to my go-to. We had to stop at the grocery store because I had nothing in my car. We had just cleaned out the car. Usually I have all kinds of stuff in my car. So we stopped at the grocery store and I got my baby wipes. Oh yeah. I didn't have any at the moment, but you know baby wipes get out everything. If you're a mom, you know this. Okay. So I was scrubbing real hard. Come on. It's a white shirt, y'all. And I was just like, this is not working. So I got the Tide pin, you know, I got the Tide pin out and I'm, you know, trying to get it off my shirt. Y'all, it did not work. These were a sham. They did not work. That foundation was still on my shirt. So I'm going to camp and I'm sure nobody noticed, but me. And I am worshiping the Lord. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I got makeup all over myself. I look like a mess. That's just what girls think. Okay. So I just was praising the Lord and it just dropped in my heart that God said, you know, lots of times Christians feel that way in the Lord's presence. They've got something on them, a blemish or sin, or they feel defective or insecure, and we do whatever we can to get it out. We try to, you know, go to church some more. We got to read our Bible a little bit more. We got to pray some more. Got to get it out. And the truth is, which we're going to find out in a little bit, it's already been taken care of. But God just kind of put it in my heart, like it's a hamster wheel, and that's where Christians stay because they mess up or they don't feel, you know, like they have it all together, and they just get in this hamster wheel, and it's over and over again, and I mess up, and I got to do something to get it out, and I can't really go in God's presence. I want, you know, it's just this continual thing. And it reminded me of Adam and Eve. You know, the scripture in Genesis 3, when they actually sinned, they felt ashamed. Genesis 3. So if you look in, starting with, I'm sorry, I didn't have this verse out. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." And then it goes on to say, "Who told you were naked?" And then he blames the woman. Mm-hmm. That's just like a man. Just kidding. And then he goes on and it says that the Lord made, in verse 21, "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife to cover him up." And I think it's really interesting that when Adam and Eve sinned, they felt ashamed. And what is the first thing they did? They went and hid. I don't know if you've ever seen your kids and they did something wrong and they know they did something wrong. They're usually in their room or behind the couch or somewhere trying to hide because they know it. And this is the first thing that God did. He had mercy on them. Thank God he had mercy on them. And he covered them with animal clothes. They felt ashamed and he covered them. And this was the very first animal sacrifice that covered their sins. So the backstory, I really feel like God wants us to know exactly what Jesus did. And I know many of us have heard these stories and you know it, but I want to bring something out a little different tonight. And I believe that this is not only for you, but it's for the people that you're going to come in contact with, because a lot of us already know that we're righteous, but there's so many people that live in the place of feeling unworthy, unholy, and not being able to be used by God. And that's where we want to take them, from that to what they really are, is righteous in God. So the backstory about sin and how it was covered in the Old Testament, I feel like it's really interesting, and it really brings us into the New Testament and what Jesus did for us. So you don't have to turn here, but in Leviticus 16, it goes into great detail about the Day of Atonement. I know many of you have probably heard about the Day of Atonement. We're going to have a Bible study tonight. Y'all okay with that? Like, this is not going to be milk. This is going to be some meat, okay? So y'all bear with me. It may be boring in some parts, but if you can pay attention, you can get something here that can take you somewhere. So Leviticus 16, and I'm just going to start reading a little bit. I'm not going to read the whole 16 because y'all would just be falling in the floor asleep. Okay. Have you ever read Leviticus? Just by the way, I tried to read the whole Old Testament one time. Got stuck in Leviticus. If you've ever gotten stuck, Leviticus would be a place. I did finally finish it. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, who died after they entered the Lord's presence and burned the wrong kind of fire before him. This is New Living Translation, by the way. The Lord said to Moses, "Warn your brother Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain when he chooses. If he does, he will die. For the ark cover The ark's cover, the place of atonement, is there, and I myself am present in the cloud above the atonement cover. When Aaron enters the sanctuary area, he must follow these instructions fully. He must bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He must put on his linen tunic and the linen undergarments worn next to his body. He must tie the linen sash around his waist and put the linen turban on his head. These are the sacred garments. It goes on and on. Aaron will present his own bull as a sin offering to purify himself and his family, making them right with the Lord. Then he must take the two male goats and present them to the Lord. Okay, I'm not going to read all of this because this is, wow, this is like the most exciting stuff. But what it shows us is they had to follow directions to the T. If they did not, just like Aaron's sons, what happened? They died. They died. That's crazy to me. And so in Leviticus, they had to follow it to the T. And see, on the Day of Atonement, they had the high priest was the only person that was allowed into the most holy place. See, they had a tabernacle. And the tabernacle, there's this outer room. Everybody can hang out in the outer room. Oh, yeah. Okay, so then there's this holy place. This is where the priest did most of his things in the holy place. And then there's the most holy place. This is where God's presence was. This is the Ark of the Covenant. Everything that was God was in this most holy place. And the high priest could not enter there but once a year. Once. And in order to enter, he had to kill some goats and bulls and make an offering. And he had to splash. This is yuck. But he had to splash their blood all over the place to sanctify for him to even enter the most holy place. Okay, so on the Day of Atonement, there was two goats. One they killed, and the other one, they confessed the sins of Israel on that goat and sent it out into the wilderness. They had to do those two things in order for their sins to be atoned for. Atonement means a covering. So I kind of have a little illustration because I worked in children's ministry. We like illustrations and pops. Okay. So I kind of have some blemishes here on my arm. Y'all see my, Nate didn't beat me up. This is not real. Okay. So, the Day of Atonement, what it did for the children of Israel and for whoever entered that most holy place, it was for their family and for all of Israel. It covered their sins. See, their sins are still there, but they're covered. Right? That way they don't die. God was merciful. He loved them, and he wanted their sins to be taken care of. He had a plan, but in the meantime, until the plan is brought forth, this is what I'm asking you to do. You have to follow these directions to a T, and you have to kill this goat and confess these sins over this other goat and send them out into the wilderness. And for that year, at that time, your sins will be atoned for. But the problem with this is that it kind of wore off after a while, right? Because every single year they had to do the same thing, right? So this is not the end all be all. This is not what God really wanted us to have, is just in a covering for our sins. Just like with Adam and Eve, he made those animal clothing for them. It was a covering, and it was mercy, and it was love for them. But it was not exactly the end all of what God wanted for them. But it was mercy and grace. Thank God for that. God doesn't want us to have a covering, right? He wants us to be able to come into His presence, approaching Him with confidence. So let's read in Hebrews 4:14. And this, we're going to be a lot in Hebrews because Hebrews talks a lot about this high priest. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, this is NIV, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firm to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, it's God's desire that He wants us to come to His throne room in confidence, come boldly because of what Jesus did for us. We're going to read some more. I want you to be sure, have confidence tonight. That's the goal, to have confidence and boldness when you come into God's throne room, when you come into trying to talk and communicate with Him. Let's read some more scripture. How about that? Let's read Hebrews 10:8-18. Hebrews 10, verse 10 through 18. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Y'all, by one sacrifice he has made perfect. You know that word? Have you ever heard that word? Perfect. What is perfect? It's complete. It's whole. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. See, the goats that they had to sacrifice, they could not have a blemish. They could not have a defect. They sacrificed those goats because they were perfect in all of their ways. And they were perfect. And then it says, by one sacrifice. What was that sacrifice? Jesus, right? He has made perfect forever those. Who is he talking about? Us. He's made us perfect forever those who are being made holy. I think it's interesting how it says we're perfect, but we're being made holy. But we are perfect. But in every way, our bodies, our minds have to continue to be made holy, right? All right, let's read some more scriptures. Woohoo! I get excited about scriptures, y'all. Okay, so Hebrews 9, we're going to back up in Hebrews a little bit, 9:23-28. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself. Now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again. the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Y'all, he went to heaven himself. The tabernacle here was a copy of what's in heaven. He went to heaven and presented himself as the sacrifice instead of the goats, y'all. He was perfect. He was without blemish. He didn't have any sin, not one. But the sin of many was put on him. It was put on him. And just like he sent that goat into the wilderness in the Old Testament, Jesus was sent to the cross and the sins of the whole world was on him and he shed his blood. And when his blood was shed, he picked up that blood and he presented it to God himself as a sacrifice for you and me. Y'all. And it's not a sacrifice that he has to do again and again and again and again, just like that Old Testament high priest had to do. It's once and for all time. And what he did, instead of covering the sins, like this is the atonement, right? He was like Jesus, and John the Baptist said it the best. He said, look, it's the Lamb of God. What he did is he completely eradicated sin where it's no more. He took complete care of it. It's no more. It's no more. It has no power. We're perfect, without blemish, without sin, without defect, because of what Jesus did. He took it. It's gone. His blood was enough. Y'all, his blood was enough. Ah, it's so hard because doesn't your mind always tell you things? When you're sometimes in God's presence, you can think back to, okay, yeah, I messed up there, and I messed up there, and I'm a hot mess there. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but that is the enemy constantly reminds you over and over again of those sins, because what does he want you to do? He wants you to get in that hamster wheel and try to work for your sins. He wants you to work for those things that you feel inadequate in, insecurities or whatever. He wants you to work for it so you never actually be the man or woman of God that he's called you to. It's a deception. Let's look at it. Let's go to 1 John. We're going to go to 1 John 3, verse 19. 1 John 3, verse 19. And it says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. See, what happens is when we're in God's presence, our own hearts sometimes, not just the enemy, but our own heart sometimes condemns us. And we feel bad or ashamed, like, man, I didn't pray. I was supposed to go to prayer and I totally forgot. Golly, you know. And our heart will condemn us. But it says, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and we can receive anything from him. So how do we get our hearts not to condemn us? Well, first of all, we got to remember Christ sacrificed himself once and for all, and we're perfect. Our spirits are perfect. Secondly, if we feel bad about something, we know what 1 John 1:9 says, right? If you back up to 1 John 1:8, we're going to start with verse 8. 1 John 1:8. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. We're going to stop there for a second. Y'all, back in the Old Testament, when they sinned, not just on the Day of Atonement was their sacrifice. They had to constantly bring sacrifices for their sins. And if they didn't have enough money for a bull or a goat, they had to give a dove, two doves, or some flour or oil. I mean, every day they were constantly reminded of their sin. And it was a constant reminder on the Day of Atonement that they had sinned because of all this. But we don't have to bring any more sacrifices. I am so glad I did not live back then because I don't know if I'd be able to make it, you know, because the whole killing the animals thing, I'm not down with that. I just would probably be throwing up in a corner somewhere. But I guess if you grew up in it, then you'd be used to it. But we don't have to do that. All we have to do, if our hearts condemn us, if we feel bad, if we feel ashamed about something, is just confess our sins. And it's not that he's forgiving us again. He's already forgiven us, but it allows that cleansing to happen so that we don't feel bad about it. It's right for us to confess our sins. And it says right here, and sin, y'all, sin is not just doing bad stuff. Sin sometimes is worrying. Sin sometimes is just not doing what you felt you should do. I mean, come on. We all have messed it. We all have messed up and we all, you know, have had a wrong attitude. I mean, if you have kids, you've had a wrong attitude at some point. I'm just saying. I know for myself. I'm screaming at my kids today. Lord help me. But when we feel that, we just say, God, forgive us. We have no clue how easy that is compared to what they had to do in the Old Testament. That's just easy. That's just like, Lord, forgive us. But then it goes on in 1 John 2. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Yay! He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. Y'all, he took care of it once and for all. The way he looks at you, he's not looking at your record. He's looking at Christ, and Christ presented his perfect, unblemished blood without defect to God, and he sees you just as he sees Jesus. You are perfect. You are perfect because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with your performance. It has nothing to do with how much Bible you read. It has nothing to do with how many times you checked off. I went to church. It has nothing to do with your performance. It only has to do with the blood, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the righteous one who has made us righteous. Say, I am righteous because of Jesus' blood. He took care of sin once and for all. It's done. So I want us to look at one more scripture. But before we do that, I just want you to think of this. When Jesus died on the cross, when he made that sacrifice, not only was sin completely taken care of, but a veil, a curtain in the most holy place was torn. Right? From top to bottom, it was torn. Isn't that interesting? It was a 4-inch thick curtain that was between the most holy, the holy place and the most holy place, where God's presence was. When they talk about the veil was torn, I've heard that many times, it was a curtain that was holding God's presence in that most holy place, and it was torn in half. And no longer was his presence held up in there. What he did is he decided, I'm going to make my home in you. And the only way his home could be in us is that Holy Spirit had to come in, recreate us into a new creation. And because we are a new creation, his home can be in us. Think about that. People died when they walked into God's presence. But we have God living on the inside of us. We have no clue what we have. We have no clue. God's home, his presence, wherever we are, his presence is with us. Back in the Old Testament, they didn't have that opportunity. They didn't have God's presence living with them. They didn't go into church and feel the love of Jesus. It's in that room. It's in that room. But God's presence, when that veil was torn, Jesus made that sacrifice, and his presence now lives in us. We are the temple. We are the tabernacle. We're the tabernacle. And if he chose, y'all, if he chose to live in you, what does it make you think about who he thinks you are? Do you think he would live in you if he thought you were defective? Do you think he would live in you if he thought you were not worthy? He made you worthy. He made you whole. He made you perfect. He made you those things. When you called on Jesus and you said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, come into my life, make me brand new, the Holy Spirit came in and recreated you brand new. And he poured in his presence, and his holy presence lives in you. And everywhere you go, and that's why it's so special to come to church. It's not, his presence doesn't live here anymore. It lives in us. So when we all come together, his presence is together. His presence is together. And it says if two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So not only is his presence in us, but his midst is here. And we don't have to do all these sacrifices and put on linen stuff and spray blood everywhere. I mean, come on, people. We can just bask in his presence anytime. And so the enemy wants you to feel ashamed and feel unworthy and to feel like, I can't go to God. I've messed up so many times. I hardly read my Bible. I show up to church once a month. or once a year, you know? The enemy wants us to feel bad about who we are and feel condemned. But God wants us to see our true value and our true worth, and that He looks on you and He sees you unblemished, perfect. And you can come to in His presence with confidence. Let's read Hebrews 10, starting with verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with full assurance, having sprinkled our hearts from a guilty conscience, and having washed our bodies with the pure water. Y'all, we have something incredibly special that the Old Testament believers and Israelites did not have the opportunity. Through Christ and His blood, He opened a way for us to become brand new on the inside, and God's presence to live on the inside of us, and we are completely perfect in His sight. And all we need to do is to hold unswervingly to that hope that we profess, to have that full assurance that faith gives, and to spur one another in love. That's the thing, is the confidence we have is not like this, I'm good because Jesus made me good, and it's not boastful because we did nothing to earn it. It is just us knowing that Jesus, it was only by the blood of Jesus that we can enter into His presence. It's only by the blood of Jesus that God lives on the inside of me. And it's only by the blood of Jesus that He made us perfect. But I am perfect, and I am made perfect so I can boldly and confidently come into the throne of grace and mercy and talk to my God, share with Him my heart, ask Him for whatever is needed. And I tell you, the whole purpose of what God wanted to do with Adam and Eve was to spend time with them. He came in the cool of the evenings just to talk to them and spend time with them. And He's in us now. And it says, let us draw near to Him, because that's what we got in us. We got Him, His presence. And so many times, I know I'm guilty of it too. We forget, because we got so much going on in life. And we're busy, right? But let's live in His presence. Let's spur one another into loving the Lord and not feeling like we can't do anything. Let's start at the place of knowing Jesus' blood was enough. Then we can get out of the hamster wheel and we can start doing something for God. because that's the whole purpose of the enemy. He wants to get you confused and ashamed and feeling unworthy because he doesn't want you to actually do something with your life and do something for God, you know? And I know many of you don't feel that way, but how many Christians have you met that feel that way on a regular basis and that feel like they can't do anything? God is in us for a purpose. His power is in us, and it's only by the blood of Jesus, and he made you to be his home. And that Holy Spirit that's in you and on you, it's on you for a purpose to do the same thing as Jesus did. And so if we're always stuck in this, I feel messed up and not worthy, then we can't accomplish those great things, those greater things that Jesus said we could do. And the reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness. And so if we feel bad about who we are, y'all, every time God asks me to, when I'm out in public, every time God asks me to pray with somebody or talk to somebody, I look crazy. I'm serious. I go and I have a t-shirt on. I've got my flip-flops on. My hair is all a mess. I have no makeup on. This is what a life of a mom with little children. And I go to Walmart and I'm just trying to get a few things and go home. And God asks me to go pray with somebody. I'm like, Lord, you realize what I look like right now. They're going to run the other direction and think I'm trying to steal them or something. You know, I don't know. I just feel like this can't be why, but he has done this to me so many times, and I know it's just a humbling thing because him working through you and me has nothing to do with us. It really has nothing to do with us. It's not about our performance. It's not how good we look. It's not how put together we are. It's not how much education we have. It's not about any of those things, because sure enough, I don't have them. I'm just a regular person who loves the Lord, who just wants to him to use me. That's it. But it has everything to do with just letting yourself be a vessel and yielding to him. But you can't do that if you're stuck in feeling unworthy place, because you can't get to that place. It's like just a continual cycle. So once you get out of that and you just say, okay, I know I'm perfect in all of our ways because of Jesus, and you've taken care of everything, and even though I look like a hot mess, I trust you to do something here, and your power is here because it's in me, and so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And so I just encourage you, just like God has encouraged me, no matter how you feel, remind yourself of who you are. You're righteous. You're holy. You're perfect. There's nothing wrong with you. You have no defect or blemish that disqualifies you. You are called. You are anointed. You're ready. You're willing. And all you have to do is be obedient. It's when he tells you to. So there's a message. I'm just letting God do what he wants to do with that. Let him work in you and with me about that. I wonder what we could do if we actually believe that. I think we could do pretty awesome things if we actually believe that. I think Jesus and God are waiting on, he's waiting on his bride, the church to actually believe who they are and to stand up and be who they have been called to be. In Ephesians 5, y'all don't have to go there, but just it says, it's talking about husbands and wives. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Her is the church. And to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, to present her, the church, to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. That's the church Jesus is coming back for. That's who we are. Holy, blameless, radiant. We're radiating God's glory, God's power, God's goodness to the world. Let's be that. Let's get past the old and let's be that. That's who we are. Holy and blameless. So let's pray real quick and we'll be dismissed. Father God, I thank you that you made us holy and blameless and pure and without blemish because of the blood of Jesus, that he presented himself to you, God. He was the atoning sacrifice for us, and he made us completely perfect. Lord, help us in our own human way to not constantly think about where we've messed up, but to just give it to you, confess our sins when we do, and just trust you that you've made us perfect, and so that we can do something for you, Lord. That we can lay our lives down. Jesus laid his life down for us, and we can lay our lives down for him. Our lives are not our own. They've been bought with a price, a big price. And we have no clue how much of a price. But God, help us to have an understanding. Open our eyes to the understanding of knowing what the price that you paid for us. And that we can help people get past feeling unworthy and feeling ashamed and unholy. And get them to a place of knowing who they are in you, Lord. Help us to get people there, including ourselves. And Lord, help us just to do and be who you called us to be. You put your presence in us, and you think we're so awesome that you would put your presence in us. You would put your home in us. And so God, use us. Help us to yield to you and use us. We just praise you and we thank you for it. Thank you for what you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen.